بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. بذكر يوسف الله تعالى He has created ends and then He has created the avenues to those ends. There is a matloob, there is an avenue. So Allah Ta'ala has created hunger and He has created a way to satiate that hunger. It isn't like this, it is created something and there is no solution. It is created cold and there is a solution to bring the warmth. It is hot and there is a solution to make yourself comfortable. So this is the grand plan and the beauty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that He hasn't left man in the lurch, a problem without solution. نَزَلَ لِكُلِّ دَاءٍ دَوَاءً. For every problem, there is a solution, it's a medication. And then it is for man to adopt those procedures. And it's not right to bypass those procedures. See, there's a three-story building, right? Procedure is, go through the stairway, inshallah you'll go up. And now someone wants to bypass, jump, will you get there? It's a procedure. And Allah Ta'ala can do without procedures. But He wants you to follow procedure. For hunger, He has created a procedure to eat. Or someone doesn't eat and he dies. So not conforming to procedure, he'd be guilty of suicide. You cannot say now, Allah Ta'ala feeds, and Allah Ta'ala takes away life, so He's taken away the life, so what's the problem? You can't say that. He wants you to follow procedure. And especially in those matters where the adopting the procedures are necessary. Like food is a genuine, water is a genuine solution for thirst. So to abandon these type of solutions is haram, impermissible. Like I say, that's the procedure to go up, right? And there's a procedure to come down. And someone says, no, I'm from a 50-story building, he dives down. Then, he'll be guilty of suicide. You can't say Allah Ta'ala does, and Allah Ta'ala has taken the life away. He wants you to follow. So, where the procedures are essential, then you have to adopt the procedures. Al-Khalid radiallahu anhu had taken the poison, right? And nothing happened to him, right? Then this is a miracle, right? And a miracle is not a procedure. It happened for him. Right? But it's not supposed to be emulated. Yes, unless you are of that level and you are certain that you will get the assistance of Allah Ta'ala, it's a different thing. Otherwise, the standard is follow procedure. Sometimes people confuse themselves. That means I don't have the yaqeen. It's not about yaqeen. It's about the state that the person is in. He's in a certain spiritual state and he does something, then Allah Ta'ala makes it happen. Through the poison, nothing happened. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam did not say, now build your yaqeen, start eating poisoning. He say that. And if you're not at that level, you cannot say that the iman is weak. So, the way to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala generally is the association with the righteous, right? So Jamaat also is one type of association, because you got 10 people and every person is adhering to those 6 points, and that is recommended by one elder. So the elder, his support is with you, his dua and his support is with you, right? So this is a procedure that Allah Pak has made, that you follow a procedure of an elder and will be supported. Otherwise there were others also that started some propagationary work, and halfway, midway, and they fell. But then this now, because it's supported by some elders, right? They've been inspired by Allah Ta'ala, and then you follow it, then you see some end, right? Someone was on drugs, he left it. Someone was not performing namaz, started performing namaz. Someone was smashing and bashing his wife, and he became calm and cool. So this is the barakah now of following an elder. So following an elder, one way is this, like I said, Jamaat. It's like a general way, right? General way. But it's not confined to it. Otherwise, you're confining the mercy of Allah Ta'ala. Mercy of Allah Ta'ala is unlimited. Why should you confine it to a certain procedure? Like Zafir, in the Rabbaka Wasi'ul Maghfirah, is forgiveness, and His mercy is vast. Very, very vast. Right? So as long as it's something recommended by an elder. Who is that elder? The elder is the person who had been endorsed by his senior, and so forth until we reach the Tabi'i or the Sahabi. So it's all linked up. See? It's not a broken link. It's not a broken chain. It's all linked up. If you look at Al-Mawlana Muhammad Ilyas Sahib, he's linked up. First, Waqtan Ghuri Rahmatullahi, and thereafter, Sahan Puri Sahib Rahmatullahi. So they're all linked up. And then that line reaches up right to Rasulullah Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So they've been supported by the whole chain. The whole chain is supporting them. So as long as you are coming from a chain that is not broken. Otherwise, like I say, there were other groups also that did some propagationary work, right? But then it didn't work, it didn't last. A few days and then all collapsed. So the idea is to follow in the footsteps of some elder. That's one universal, very international, very, very effective, right, for all types of people, all classes of people, be they Arabs, non-Arabs, Indians, or coming from whichever country, Tanzania, Malaysia, Indonesia, Malawi, wherever. But it's something that is working for all. Then there is another level which is somewhat specified. It's also to link you up, to bring you, but you got an attention that is specific. When it's a general, one is specific. So you're getting a support, but his support is general. And one is specific, like how those that are doing martial arts or weights or that, right? So one is a general training, and you have a personal trainer. It's the same. So you have a personal trainer, and one is a general trainer, right? So that is also a training, it's also a training. But this is of a higher standard. Why? Because you've got a personal trainer. So here also you've got a personal trainer for your Islah, correction, etc., etc. So both are training you, but one is general and one is personal, specific. So then it's left to the individual how much he conforms. See? Sometimes a person coming to the khanqa, but you don't see a change in him. Right? The reason is he's not conforming. He's coming there, and there's no conformity. Like the trainer told him, this is what exercise you must do, and these are the foods that you must refrain from. But he's not conforming. And do you blame the trainer for that? So you don't blame the khanqa for that. Blame the individual that is not conforming. When he's not conforming, then you're not seeing the results. Right. But both are tried and tested ways. This is also a tried way. This is a tested way. After all, Hazrat Gangohi Sahib Rahmatullahi stayed in the company of his chef, Haji Imdadullah Sahib Rahmatullahi, and thereafter he progressed like we see how he progressed. The Muhammad Ilyas Sahib Rahmatullahi also followed the same, lived with his chef for years, right? Followed, and then he progressed. Allah Ta'ala took some work from him. But that's left to Allah Ta'ala, whom Allah Ta'ala wants to choose for which type of work. There are different departments of genie work. Allah Ta'ala wants someone to do some work. Allah Ta'ala wants someone to do some other work. Now, the wrong thing for us is to make comparisons, right? You say, now, he's better and he's inferior. We don't fall into that. That Allah Ta'ala will judge that is his work. Right? So we don't come and interfere in this. When we interfere in this, what happens? Then we lose the respect. See. In my experience, I found that people that gain, generally, for about two, three reasons, right? One is the high level of respect. They don't show any type of disregard for any elder. Elder means person that's saying to the sunnah, proper ways, but he doesn't show any disregard, then at some point Allah Ta'ala's grace just comes in. Don't show disregard. It may be that elder slipped up in one thing or two things, but that it's not a license for us now to go and condemn him, disgrace him, and embarrass him. A wrong is a wrong. We will not say that because the wrong was practiced by a great person, therefore that became right. The wrong will remain wrong. Right? But now, because of the one or two mistakes that he's made, it doesn't give us the license to go and paint him, brush him, label him. It may be a senior alim, he'll have to spell it out sometimes, that this is wrong, don't do this, right? He'll have to spell it out. Why? The senior alim is like a traffic control, right? The traffic control will have to show you. Sometimes someone is an exception to the rule, right? Like you see important dignitaries, right? And they got a whole entourage and they are breaking the speed limits and they're moving, right? But does the police stop them? See a paramedic and he's going, supposed to be traveling at 120, he's going at 200. Does the police stop him? So they are an exception to the rule. So it may be that he made a mistake, or he may have some explanation, right? So we don't know that explanation, we don't follow him. But we don't condemn, don't run down, don't disgrace, don't humiliate. Right? Some senior person said something, he's saying something at the level of his seniority. But now, are we at that level of seniority? When you're not at that level of seniority, then is it fair for us to imitate that person? As you see in the top masjid, you know, sometimes the grandfather, the father, and the son, all elderly. Son may be about 40, the father may be 60, and the grandfather is 80, all, right? In front of everybody, the grandfather is shouting, son, gadhe roke ro, donkey. Who is shouting? The grandfather, right? But does it give the license to the grandson to address his father in this way? If the grandfather said it, it's his place. A picture is still in my mind. Grandfather is shouting him, and his son is there, and his grandchildren may be in here, right? But he's got his head down, and then he's heard his father. See that? Understand. Everything is not to imitate. Understand the person, circumstance, how it was done, who it was done, when it was done. That person does it, it's alright. See, if you understand this, then you are a peaceful community. And you don't understand these things here. You say, he did, why can't I do it? You do what you are supposed to be doing. You got elders, Hilal is there, my Ibrahim Sahib is there. Take the cue from them. Right? Don't do your own thing. You can see them when they speak, my Ibrahim Sahib will speak, how cautious he is, choice of his words, how he speaks, how he conducts himself. So he won't just say everything and blurt out anything. There's a way. And why there's a way? They know, with experience and trying and testing, they know what ways are beneficial. So our way is just to follow them. We don't pretend to be in their shoes, at their level of understanding. They got 60 years, 70 years of understanding. I know in 76, I saw my brand sub in the Merkaz, an ordinary person, and beard is black still, right? And his style was still now and then winking and giving the talks, right? Sometimes Arabs, sometimes non-Arabs, right? And now today, he become the head, right? But then the style they adopted, or what they inherited from the elders, from Hazrat Imam Inam al-Hassan Sahib, and so forth and so on, right? They kept to that. So because they kept to that, Allah Bak took work from them. Wherever they went, then Allah Ta'ala spread the winds of Hidayat. But then conformity with that style. Don't move away from that style. Yes, you don't compromise on deen issues, but it doesn't give us the license to condemn, to humiliate, to disgrace, and to make these things topics of discussion. No news. See, shaitan got different ways to mislead. One way of misleading is he diverts your attention to some issues, right? You put all your mind to that, your discussion, mind, tahqiq, everything. And in the meanwhile, the work that was supposed to be done, that gets left off. The right thing was to discuss with your elders. Like I said, you've got elders, so speak to them, you've got this situation, what do we do? Obviously you can't support the right, the wrong, but what should you do under the circumstance? So if you have an elder, then there is no complication. But you become the elder, and you leave out the elder then, like the, you know, you've got an engine and the coach, right? Coach is saying for years, I'm moving, moving. What's the need for me to keep myself connected to the engine? What will happen? Can you move after that? So it's the coach movement is subject to it being connected to the engine. So your movement and your progress is subject to your being connected to the elder. See the importance of keeping it. Now, this is just the introduction. There's a lot of confusion in the minds, and my idea is to clear those confusion, those clouds of confusion, get it out. Then it is for the murid not to become too close to the sheikh. Why? Because he may have a domestic life, right? In the domestic life, there may be something that you may not be in agreement with, right? Maybe he came into the house, he took out his kurta, took out his topi, he's running around, whatever the sheikh is. Now you became too attached, and you can't relate to this type of behavior, and you lose the respect, or you lose the confidence. But a person is so mature, he can understand the situation, he's alright. But a normal person, he can't understand this. I'm also in the, the offers many times, I pull up my topi. Right. I can't manage the heat, right? But that's in isolation, not in public. Right? Doesn't give license to people not to start cleaning the mask without topis, right? Sometimes I'm working now, but I can't manage it. When I can't manage it, I take out my topi, right? But now, someone doesn't understand these things here, and he sees this, hey, why is not wearing topi? So why wear a topi? So, for some people, it's not right to become, for in fact, most people. Because they can't really, they don't know the situation, they don't know the context, they don't know all these things. But they don't know, so the level of confidence, trust, and attachment breaks, right? And your benefit is subject to your confidence, love, and trust. And once that snaps, then you don't see the progress after that. Right? So that's why I say for most people, it's not better, it's not good to become too attached. Come, go, spend some time, go, come again, go again, right? See something and then your confidence breaks. Then what you do? And the whole benefit, the whole istifada, all is gone. So, we're talking of the benefit in this path. One thing I said, respect, right? Respect with love. In the past, in my understanding, most people, a lot of people benefited because of respect and love. They had the respect and love. They didn't understand too much of deen, but a lot of love and respect. And in my understanding, was that love and respect that brought about confidence that showed them the path. Now, we investing only in education, not in love, respect, and confidence. Right? So where our investment is in education. We feel now that education is a substitute for love, respect, and trust. In a marital relationship, can you just go by the book, law? So take your atta, take your this, go on. Can you, so in a relationship of love, there are about 90% of the ingredients is love, 10% is law. But I will turn it around and have 90% of law and 5% of love, can it work? See the Quran Sharif, got about 6,600 some odd verses, right? And from the 6,000 some odd verses, about 600 relate to laws. The rest, the greatness, respect, honor, and love. So to make you work, right, so you need to have that level of respect, love, and confidence. So this is what Quran Sharif is doing, to enhance your respect, right, your love, etc. Now, people are not understanding this, they're investing this on what they read, what they read, what they hear. And where the investment is supposed to be, in love. Like you look at the Sahaba Ikram, radiallahu, the story of Wahab radiallahu. So he just came to Medina Munawwara and he heard Rasulullah Pasan has proceeded to Uhud. He left his goats and animals there direct. Now the love that fired him up, yeah, I can't be here, I must go there. What was it? What prompted him? He could have thought, no, but the Sahaba Ikram are already in battle, so it's not for us for me to go and fight there. If he just kept himself at a level of being dogmatic, right, would he be prompted to go to Uhud? Now he's in Uhud, and all the way he comes to the defense of the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, attacking right, left, until the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam endorsed him and said, I love you. Now he said, hey, now he said, I got my ticket. See that? The Nabi himself said that. But what was it? It was love. Now, you want to substitute love with Kali. That's wrong. It's not right. If you look at the Mutaqaddimin, the Mawtami Sabran says that most of it was Sohbat and tarbiyat. The effort was suhbat, love and tarbiyat. Most of it. And part of it was ta'lim. So 10% ta'lim, most of it love, tarbiyat and association. That's how they want. And now we want to change the whole thing, it's not going to work. Like I said, in a marital home, you would have 95% love and 5% muhabbat. Which is going to work. Turn it around. You want a peaceful life, some understanding, that will really fill it up with muhabbat. Now, how to? There must have been some reason, but the hadith says, وَلَمْ تُؤْمِنُوا حَتَّى تَحَابُّ. That is what he said. That iman is incomplete without muhabbat. أَفْشُ السَّلَامْ أَتِيمُ الطَّعَامْ سِلُّ الْأَرْحَامُ. What are these for? To enhance, to generate muhabbat. What is it for? أَحْسِنْ إِلَى مَنْ أَسَاعِلِ. What is it for? Generate muhabbat, right? What is it for? وَعَفُوا عَمَّنْ زَلَمَ. To generate muhabbat, right? اِدْفَعَ بِالَّتِي أَحْسَنْ. To diffuse problems, right? With beauty, right? Of what? To generate muhabbat. Are you going to take everything, the bull by the horn, right? And you're not going to let the horn pull you or your ears, right? You're going to take it with the horn, it'll pull you now. Go in reverse. So it was that muhabbat, respect and the trust that they had for the elder. Admiral Muzaffar Hussain Saab, rahmatullah alayhi, he's the family of Muhammad Ilyas Sabrahim. And by the blessings of Allah Ta'ala, for years, I can see at least about maybe two or three centuries, maybe even more, Allah knows. But Allah allowed someone to be a revivalist of the family. And I would think that this thing carried on for about 8 centuries. Because you heard the story of that Ziauddin Sunani. You know, he and Nizamuddin Awliya Hattari. So, what some of the historians say, that Ziauddin Sunani comes in the line of Muhammad Ilyas Hattari. And he's now in the 7th century. So that means the revival is good work. It's from then, right? We see now how this thing works. How the blessings continue. So most people here are married. When you are married now, you want the blessings to continue in your children. Goodness. You know, life, you got a designated moment and you have to leave. Right? But you want the good to continue. You don't want it to stop with you. Right? What's the good now? It stops with you. Is there any good in that? So the great historian of our times was Abu Hasan Ali Nadwi Rahmatullahi. I don't think there was a historian in the Islamic world as great as Muhammad, very reliable. So he says it's been through the whole history. So much of now you start now, even the Arabs loved him. His books, as the Arab world, they read his books, right? So both the non-Arab and the Arab world, he passed away on a Jummah. The 27th Ramadan. We're making etiquette on the top masjid of the new skin, right? And then, Mata Kamak Shah, he died like how you put on clothes, itar, read some namaz, reading perhaps Surah Yasin or Surah Kaf. Time is up. Mata Kamak Shah, like he wanted, right? Allah gave everything. And then he's amongst the few people whose Ghaibana namaz was read in the Haramain, Makkah and Medina. Passed away here, his hometown, Bareilly or something, right? And the Haramain performed his Tarawih namaz. So just to give you a little bit of introduction to the person. And near all these people, in our day, when we were in India, 70s, etc., that they had connected themselves to the Sheikh of Dali. So we saw them there. They'll come, spend some time, and leave, right? But all had some followers, had some leader, someone to guide them. They didn't remain independent. Come, go, come, go. So he says in his experience, if a person wants the blessings to continue, leave a legacy of blessings for our children to come, right? Like I say, most of us are married people, right? And you want a legacy of blessings to continue in your progenies. Says, from my studies, what I've seen, three things will allow that legacy to continue. Says that very seldom will you find that this person adhered to this and it didn't work out for his progenies. So the three things that he mentioned, one is halal, careful about halal. Now, unnecessarily, you don't have to go and make tahqiq, right? Where there is a need, you make tahqiq. And you can't go sit on a table and say, Mona, we got this stunned chicken or something. Right? That was supposed to be done before you come to the da'wat. You don't go and ask the person, embarrass him. Like if we were to ask you where you got this chicken slaughtered, you feel embarrassed on this thing. So an average level of inquiries is enough. Right? Don't go too deep. Otherwise, you put other people in problem, difficulty. Now, one woman is writing that the eating now take away foods is right for me to eat. So myself, I hardly eat takeaway unless you're on a journey or something. And the person that is doing it is reliable, so we take, right? Otherwise, we try and avoid it. Whatever reason. Now she's complaining that sometimes that's the only food that's served in the house, honestly. But you go too much, then it becomes difficult. So then I have to answer that woman, that if you don't have any evidence to show that it's haram, then consider it to be halal. If you've got some sound evidence that this is not right, right, then abstain. Otherwise, well, what should happen in the house? So the problem is in the house. Myself, I don't like to eat this thing, right? But now that's the only food that's being served in the house. What are you going to do? I don't say now, I'm not promoting or marketing this takeaway or that, right? But, say, it's halal haram, then be, understand. And for someone, they go to the limits, and then they can't maintain the limits. One person went to ask one peer sub now. He will get a makeshift. He's a makeshift or he doesn't have a proper understanding. They make dua that I get halal rozi. He said, you know, that is an impossible task. After yesterday, everything was right. But yesterday what happened? My cow went to the neighbor's yard, right? And the soil from the neighbor's yard got onto the hoof of my animal, right? And with that soil came to my farm. So there was stolen soil that came into my yard, and now the crops are going to grow with that. So, can they be halal? See now, you go to the extremes, then you can't maintain it. Do how much you can maintain. Moderation. Right? Hadith also says, like, go in moderation. So don't go to extremes. Go with moderation. Someone wants to go the extra mile, blessings to him. But that mustn't be like a general rule. Al-qasd, tablughu. Go with moderation, inshallah, you will reach. So the first point, Alima Sabahinda says, it's halal, right? I'll just give a little bit of elucidation for that. The second thing he brought to attention is, if there is a quarrel, a debate, a dispute, etc., whatever, right, then rather be the mazloom than being the zalim. What? Rather be the mazloom than being the Zalim. So a quarrel, it's a dispute, etc., can stretch the thing and show that you are right, right? But the better thing is rather you be the Muslim, all right? You're not demanding your rights. See? You explain, all right, what was the position, and they want to suppress your rights, whatever, so you went with it. Not that willingly you became a Muslim, but you can see it's a dispute now will end. But everybody is now got a very strong personality. Strong personality is another word for pride. People use it for praising, but in my understanding, the strong personality is a pride, arrogance. Muslim is all that. Muslim is the way of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Easy going. As long as not haram, easy person to live. That's a Muslim. But are you going to be a strong personality and you think it's a thing of honor? No. Go off. So, in any situation, whether it's a problem, fight, a stay, this one or whatever, whatever, right? Rather be as though you lost the case. Be as though you are defeated. Be, rather take the position of a Muslim. Don't ever be the Zalim. Because if you're fighting and even one inch into Zulm, you became the Zalim. Now you lost the divine assistance. Because the three persons whose du'as are answered, one of them is a Muslim. See, one is the father or the son, the Musafir, right, until he returns, and one is the Mazlum. So now, if you want to be the Zalim, are your du'as going to be accepted? Even if it is just 1% Zulm in it, are you going to get your du'as answered? So you'd rather be the Mazlum. Second thing of what Imasa mentioned, rahmatullahi alayhi. The third point he mentioned, maintain good ties with your relatives. So there's a question today. Now, nice question, mashallah, that you got different levels of relationship, right? One is your brother, right? One is your cousin. One is your distant cousin. One is your uncle, right? One is his son. So now, how do you maintain? So then, the grace of Allah said, see, the word that's used in the Quran, وَلِلْأَقْرَبِينَ بِالْمَعْرُفِ الْأَقْرَبْ فَالْأَقْرَبْ. How it works? The closer, the rights become greater. Right? The duties become greater with the closer. So if you were a brother and a cousin, then first you see to your brother, then your cousin. First you see to your uncle, then your uncle's cousin. Not that person and then. So those that are closer to you, so the same will apply to the neighborhood. The neighbor that is closer, his rights will be greater. The neighbor that is further away, he's also got rights, but his rights come second. So in my understanding, it's two things. One is how close the person is to you. And number two is how much in need the person is. Because when Abu Talha radiallahu anhu, he made away Bayruha, right? It was like a prime site. Maybe some like that place, like the water. Near the Haram of Madina Munawwara. La sahibiha wa li salatu salam. So, Nabi Salaam suggested to him that I feel so give it to some of your relatives. So, he gave it to two people. It was Hassan ibn Sabit. And I think the second was Ubay ibn Ka'b, or Ka'b ibn Malik, one of the children. Right? So these two family people, Hassan and Ubay ibn Ka'b, they were not poor, but they were not financially strong, not poor. And they were related to him at the fifth or sixth generation. Fifth or the sixth generation. Anybody sitting in the masjid here knows his sixth generation. Anyway, can say that. But Dallat and Savuna, we lost our lineage. It's wrong, it's a big wrong mistake تعلموا من الارحام ما تصلون به تعلموا من الانصاب ما تصلون به ارحامكم. So must learn your lineage so that you can make sila and maintain. But if you don't know your family now, then how are you going to maintain? So Imam Sabra mentioned these 3 points. You want that goodness to carry on, to flow. 3 things. Halal, rather be the mazloom, I should explain that. And the third is maintain good family characters. Allah Tawfiq Nasib.